Ted Cruz. You know how much you have good bliss. By the big butt, bitch, somewhere get my nuts. Kiss, that's the way it goes when you party just like
I. Remember how we used to do our tweet of the week, Ken?
I don't remember much of anything, but I'll take your word for it.
Okay, here's one. Donald Trump.
Stop right there.
We have a new follower here on the show, and his name is Bill Janovitz. You can get him on Twitter, at Bill Janovitz. And he said, Donald Trump reminds him of a close to a politician's public apology that was in The New Yorker that Steve Martin did.
Oh, good.
Here's the close to a politician's public apology. Finally, I would like to apologize for spontaneously yelling the word savages after losing $6,000 on a roulette spin at the Choctaw Nation Casino and Sportsbook. When I was growing up, the meaning of this word in our household closely approximated Hawaiian aloha, and my use of it in the casino was meant to express until we meet again. Now, on with the campaign.
You can stop following us now there, fella.
When you start, it's just a matter of time. Any minute you will cross that line. Play it for me. You never think about the price you pay. It got a mind of its own and it sings. Play it for me. It got a mind of its own and it sings. Play it for me.
It got a mind of its own and it sings.
Nothing can stop me. Nothing holds me back. Think you can slow me down. Knock me off my track.
Would you believe I forgot his name the moment you said it?
Donald Trump.
No.
Bill Janovitz.
Yeah.
Just. It's from Phoenix, Arizona. They call themselves Congos. Take it from me. This song is about, and you know this word, radio ready as it gets, Ken.
Oh, yeah.
They call themselves Congos because that's their last name, all four of them. And that's their new single, Congo's latest album, Egomaniac. Speaking of Donald Trump, South African born, they've been in America doing their music since, 1996. They've been in Phoenix, Arizona. They are four brothers, Johnny on accordion, keyboards and vocals, Jesse, drums, percussion and vocals, Daniel, guitar and vocals, and Dylan Congos, bass guitar, lap glide guitar, vocals.
Anybody on Congos?
No.
No.
They spent their childhoods split between London and South Africa. As I said, they've been in Phoenix, Arizona for 20 years now, and you can get out there and support Congos out there on tour. July 2nd, Saturday in the Park in Sioux City, Iowa. July 3rd, Independence Day 2016, Indianapolis, Indiana. July 4th, at the Heritage and Freedom Fest, O'Fallon, Missouri. And this, compadre, is for you. July 7th, Taste of Chicago.
Oh, boy.
Chicago, Illinois. That is. And then July 9th, they close out the early part of July at the Velvet Underground in one of our favorite cities, Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
You can go to Taste of Chicago and in less than 20 minutes gain about 20 pounds.
I bet you
just
can.
Just like showing up.
I bet you can. This show is You Can't Make It Up, and this is our 300th episode.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whatever possessed us to do this thing for so long?
Now, fess up. If you had it to do over,
yep.
Would you do it again?
I'd be long gone. What are you, nuts?
We try one. Didn't like it. Bye now. Yeah. He's Ken.
I am?
Yeah. And so am I. And the show is You Can't Make It Up. We do it because, as we found out in December of 2008 when we started this odyssey, mankind's capacity for stupidity is limitless. Who knew?
Well, that's a milestone. There's a couple of other semi-milestones. It's also, as we do this, Father's Day.
Oh, yeah, Sunday, yes.
So happy, Father's Day to you.
And to you.
And thanks to all those people whose names I don't recognize who sent those cards from all over the world. And Coincidentally, my birthday was the day before.
You know, I never remember your birthday.
It always comes near Father's Day.
There's a story there somehow, but I can't.
Well, yeah. You know, I mean, you mentioned in a previous show that we were, what's the word you use? Getting up in years.
Yes.
I'm not going to say how old I am, but let's just say that I'm slightly younger than Hugh Hefner and slightly older than Justin Bieber.
Not to mention, Hugh Hefner is a family man. I mean, a 112-year-old guy who lets his three granddaughters live in his mansion with him. How nice is that?
Yeah, Kristen, I don't think those are actually his granddaughters. I think they're...
What are you talking about? What?
Nothing.
Our show originates at 2kenscomedy.com. You can email us feedback@2kenscomedy.com. Follow us on Twitter, like Bill Janovitz did.
No, go away.
Two Kens. So, compadre, this being show number 300, you have some things to say about the significance of the number 300.
Well, now you know more about this because you are the podcasting guru, but I have to believe that 300 is a bit of a benchmark of success and longevity in podcasting. Is that a fair thing?
It is. Someone once calculated that the average length of a podcast is 7 episodes, and then people just go, I should do something else. You know? Or as you used to say, just because you can.
Yeah, doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
And that's great. But 300 is also a benchmark of success in the sports world. I mean, for example, if you know you bowl 300, that's a perfect game.
It is. Right? 12 strikes in a row.
I've heard it. I've never done it, but I've heard of it. Mm-hmm. And your favorite sport and mine, baseball, you hit 300. That's supposed to mean you're a good hitter.
You got a lot of Cubs this year hitting 300.
I certainly do.
Yes.
But that's all well and good, but this is You Can't Make It Up, and we don't celebrate success.
No, we don't. We are the, what's the word? We are the Schadenfreude podcast.
Ooh.
Yes, we don't celebrate success. As a matter of fact, we dance in the streets your failures.
That's right. We go in the opposite direction.
That's right.
I didn't say what's nice, but everybody does it. Do you ever clap when a waitress falls and drops a tray of glasses?
Yeah.
And ain't it fun to watch figure skaters falling on their asses?
Sure.
Don't you feel all warm and cozy watching people out on the rink?
You bet.
That's Schadenfreude. People taking pleasure in your pain.
So I thought in that same vein that I looked up some of the archives in Major League Baseball to find out who were some of the players that ran away as far as they could from success. The worst players of all time, according to at least one of these archives. And I have 4 short categories. Okay. Ready?
Sure.
Worst hitter of all time. Now, you remember Mario Mendoza of the Pirates?
Yes.
The famous Mendoza line
is
named.
Yeah, if you hit less than 200 for the season, you're considered below the Mendoza line.
Ironically, his career average was above the Mendoza line.
Really?
215. But the title of worst hitter ever goes instead to a guy named Mike Potter. Mm-hmm. Played briefly in the 70s for the Cardinals. Posted a .000 batting average.
No hits.
2 seasons in a row.
Wow. How many at-bats, you know?
Enough to qualify.
Wow.
Here's the weird thing. The Cardinals used him a lot as a pinch hitter.
Yeah, you'd think early on in the season they detected something there.
I don't know. But how about the worst base runner? According to John Miller, you know him, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, does the Giants games and used to do Sunday Night Baseball. He considers a guy named Ruben Rivera someone who committed what he called the worst base running in the history of the game.
Okay.
Now, Rivera played for the Giants. He was in a game against the Diamondbacks. He represented the potential winning run. Mm-hmm. So he ran from first to second, paused to see where the ball had landed in the outfield. Mm. Noticing he had time, stepped off the base, and then to return, but he didn't touch the base again, second base, which he's supposed to do. Went on to third, not realizing he never touched second to begin with, and was called out, not just by the umpire, but apparently by the Giants, who fired him and released him a week later.
Ruben Rivera.
Worst pitcher of all time, and there were plenty of candidates here, but according to what I read, the title goes to someone named Herm Wehmeyer.
Yeah.
who played in the 40s and 50s for the Reds and Cardinals and Phillies, among others. He lasted 8 seasons in the big league, and I can't figure out how, given his record. But he managed to, get this, lead the major leagues in walks 3 times,
yeah,
in wild pitches 2 times,
yeah,
and hit batters 1 time.
Well, they're all connected, yeah. He couldn't find home plate.
On top of that, he walked more batters than he struck out.
Yeah, he couldn't find home plate with a miner's helmet.
But he did play 8 seasons.
Hmm.
But I think those were the war years when all the good players were in the service.
There it is. He's got a job because, yes.
And finally, the worst fielder of all time. And again, lots of people could have qualified for this. But the Oscar goes to Smead Jolly.
Jolly Smead.
1930s.
Okay.
Smead Jolly.
Smead.
He played for your team, the Red Sox.
Okay. I thought you had to get a jab in there. Go ahead.
He apparently is the only player in Major League history to have committed 3 errors during 1 play.
That's almost impossible.
Well, here's the play. He's in the outfield. The ball's hit him in the outfield. Mm. He lets the ball get past him for 1 error.
Yeah.
The ball then bounces off the wall, comes back, and he lets it roll through his legs for the second error. Chased the ball down, picked it up, fired a bullet to third base. Well, maybe more of a stray bullet. Throw was way over the third baseman's head and went into the stands for the third error. You just can't do that.
Don't let the guy touch the ball again, ever.
No. Well, Casey. I don't know. Whoever got that ball in the stands probably doesn't know that he or she has a piece of history in his hands. But
wow.
There it is. Sweet jolly. So, 300, something these folks never sniffed.
And boy, that's the truth.
Washington, I'm talking baseball. Klazuski, Campanella, talking baseball. The man and Bobby Feller, the scooter, the barber, and the duke. They knew them all from Boston to Dubuque. Especially Willie, Mickey, and the Duke.
You know, you can get us mobily if you'd like. You Can't Make It Up is on Stitcher.com. Stitcher.com is a place where you can just grab an iOS or an Android app and listen to our show and many others. You Can't Make It Up mobile. Who knew? You know?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah. Here's something out of the pages of Facebook. I saw this item on the CNET Central newsletter called Tech Republic. I subscribe to everything.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I see that.
Yeah. And this was there recently. And it's from a story on KSL-TV Channel 5 in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
They reported that residents of an apartment building in Utah's capital say they found a curious piece of paper stuck to their doors when they returned home from work.
Mm.
The piece of paper had a headline that said, Facebook Addendum. And then it had some audacious stipulations. You see, the piece of paper that was stuck on the door was from their landlord, the apartment building owners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a notice that insisted that tenants had 5 days to friend City Park Apartments on Facebook or they'd be in breach of their lease.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that.
No, I didn't think so. Get a magnifying glass. Take a look at what you signed there. I don't think you signed that you'd follow them on Facebook if you moved into the apartment.
Huh.
Now, the fact they had already signed their lease, perhaps months previously, didn't seem to prevent the owners from retroactively saying, you got to follow us or you're out. We'll just, you know, throw you out of the apartment. You're gone. But here's the best part. It releases the building's owners to post pictures of tenants or the visitors to, yes, the building's Facebook page. So, they tell you must follow them or you'll be evicted. And if you do follow them, they now have the right to post pictures of you coming and going to the building and anything they want to post on their Facebook page.
Really? And this is supposed to get the guy tenants?
Yeah. Oh, wait, there's one more thing. Another stipulation on this piece of paper that I don't see how could be found legal, but the tenants not post anything negative on social media.
Oh, no, no, no.
Nothing. Have they seen social media? Without negative, you got nothing.
So you can't post something like, I've been forced to put this on Facebook.
Yeah. KSL put the graphic on the screen. The word said, resident further agrees to not post on any public forum or page negative comments relating to the community. We assume that means also the City Park Apartments.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. One tenant summed it up. He said, I don't want to be forced to be someone's friend and be threatened to break my lease because of that. His name is Jason Ring. I think he's looking for a place to live right now.
We all should get out right now. Leave this guy empty.
I have a feeling this guy is a big corporation. But anyway, Salt Lake City. If you're looking for an apartment, friend them. That's all you have to do. Just friend them and not say anything negative on. You can't use social media and be negative. What the hell's the fun of that?
The internet is a completely different culture, isn't it?
You said it. Everything here is immediately followed by sarcastic comments and nasty responses.
Yep. We're finally where we belong.
Well, here's what I wish for this guy,
yeah.
The landlord. Two words.
No, you can't say those words.
All right, two other words.
Okay.
Rent control. Let's hope they impose that on you, bleep bleep.
Well, this is the part of our show where I ask you, did you save one of those classic moments of duh for us?
What would happen if I said no?
Well, then we'd end the show here. We'd go right into the ending song is what we do. Close it now, Joe.
Well, it is show 300. Why stop the
madness.
Momentum we have, such as it is, from maybe, last $2.99. Yeah, moment of duh, sure. And, of course, it qualifies as our tip of the week. And here it is. Not that we condone this sort of thing, as we say is our usual disclaimer, but if you're going to try to pass off counterfeit money as a real thing,
yes,
don't use staples to hold both sides of the bills together.
No, I don't think they use staples at the National Treasury and U.S. Mint. I don't know. I don't think they do that with our money, do they?
I think that's a pretty good tip.
Yeah, it is.
If you need to be tipped about that, though, you're really stupid. Anyway, for this bit of nonsense, we get to go across the pond to Manchester in merry old England, where somebody tried to pass off some funny money at a local pub.
Stupid alert! Stupid alert!
In what a local police inspector described as, quote, probably the worst forgery we have ever seen. Just two photocopies of banknotes stapled together.
And some pub keeper actually accepted it as coin of the realm.
You're way ahead of me, because that's the dumber part.
Oh, good.
It almost worked. A number of times. So much so that a spokesperson for something called Manchester's Bar and Club Network, a guy named Phil Burke, said he's warned venues around Manchester, be aware of the scam. After he actually almost fell for it himself, he said, I saw one of these notes on the floor and went over to pick it up, thinking I'd found a 20-pound note. It looked real from a distance, but then not so much close up. So perhaps if you're working in a nightclub, which is very dark with flashing lights, and you might not spot it's a fake, we've been advising all our members to put training measures in place to identify forged notes. Really? Wouldn't the staples be a giveaway?
Or the photocopy?
Yes, it's not even in color.
Those keeper, I can't get them apart, so keep the change.
You know, I think the bar keeps are having too much of their own product.
Really?
I mean, if it were that easy, I'd do it.
And that's episode 300 of You Can't Make It Up. We warned you. Toucanscomedy.com is our online home. If you know stupid, stop by and leave a comment. If it's dumb enough, we might share it with our fans, all six of them.
If you knew stupid, like I knew stupid.
On our way out, yes.
Please don't tell me we have to do 300 more of these things.
We don't. Nothing says we have to do another single one.
I hear applause out there.
On our way out, this is The Temper Trap, an Australian rock band that's been making music the past 11 years. We'll let you decide if they've been doing it well. The boys relocated from Melbourne to London in 2008. This track called Burn was released on June 10th, just 10 days ago. It's off their newest album, Thick as Thieves. Speaking of counterfeiters.
Well, apparently they're feeling the burn.
And next time we see you, we'll try 301. Don't look for it soon. We have to get over the first 300.
Operative word, try.
I don't sleep well under.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2, the number 2, canscomedy.com.